We continue Bezat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Ketubot, Daf Mem Daled. We are three lines from the top, Amar Mao. This limud is Leilu Nishmat Shimon ben Simcha, Baruch ben Shelomo, Shelomo ben Reuven, Erez ben Miriam, Shaul ben Latife, Yom Tov ben Chana, Naim ben Chatun, Yair ben Tova, Sulika bat Chana, Ladisia bat Yakot, Esther bat Ladisia, Etarivka bat Mordechai, Rivka bat Deborah, Eva Shlomit bat Ilana Esther, Chaya Esther, Chava bat Sarah, and Luba bat Mazal, Alehem Shalom. Also, Lizchut Refuah Shelema for Esther bat Sarah, Elisheva bat Neta, Chana bat Sulika, Gabriela Masuda bat Sarah. So, previously, on Daf Mem Gimel, we saw the opinion of Rav Huna regarding the case of Hotzia Alav Shte Ketubot. If there were two Ketubot that were written by the husband to the wife, an earlier one and a later one. So Rav Huna said the halakha was, Bata Ligvot Mataim Gova Mizman Rishon, Shlosh Meot Gova Mizman Sheni. Which basically meant that if she chooses to use the earlier Ketubah, then she can only collect the amount that was written in the earlier Ketubah. If she chooses to use the later one, then she can use the later one and collect the amount of 300 that is written in the later date, in the later Ketubah, in the second one. So that's what Rav Huna said before. And now the Gemara is going to discuss it a little bit more and pay more attention to it. Let's see. Amar Mar, we stated before, and that's Rav Huna, Ibaya behai gavya, Ibaya behai gavya. Rav Huna basically said that if she wishes, she can collect the amount that's in the first ketubah, or if she chooses, she can collect the amount that's in the second one. She has a choice. If two ketubot, one was written after another, you have a choice which one to use. The Gemara says, Leima pliga de Rav Nachman. Shall we say that this is in disagreement with what Rav Nachman said? The Amar Rav Nachman says, Shene shtarot hayotzeim beze achar ze. If a person has two shtarot, two documents that were written pertaining to the same issue, and they were written one after the other, which means, let's say, for example, a shtar mecher or a shtar matana, a document of a transaction of a sale of a piece of land, or the transaction of a piece of land given over as a gift, whatever it may be. But two shtarot were written. Bitel sheni et harishon. Rav Nachman says, the second one, the later one, nullifies the first one. Oh, so interesting. So this sounds like he's arguing with Rav Huna. By Rav Huna also, in the case of the two ketubot, we should say that the second one negates the first one entirely. She shouldn't have the choice to choose which one to use. If a second one was written, the second one is mevatel, the first one, mikol vachol, totally. Seems like Rav Nachman is arguing with Rav Huna. Answers the Gemara, no, not necessarily. Lav mi itmar ala, did we not learn regarding that statement of Rav Nachman the following? Amar Rav Papa said, umode Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman agrees, however, de'i osif be'dikla letosefet katve. Rav Nachman says, let's say there was the first shtar that he wrote as a transaction to sell the field to another person. And then he wrote a second shtar, and in the second shtar he added even a little addition, such as a palm tree, a dekel. He added to the field, to the sale of the field, another palm tree. So then, Rav Papa says that Rav Nachman would agree the second shtar does not negate, it's not mevatel the first shtar, letosefet katve, because it shows that he wrote it as an addition. It doesn't cancel out the first one, it only adds to its sum. Amar Rav Papa umode Rav Nachman de yosif bedikla letosefet katve. So hachanami. So we hear, by the case of the two ketubot, by Rav Huna, haosif lamidi. Remember, he added an amount. The first ketubah said 200. The second ketubah said 300. So that's why Rav Huna says she can use either shtar. The second one is not negating. It's not mevatel the first one. Because you see that the second one is adding onto the first one. And Rav Nachman agrees that in a case where it shows that he's only adding, it's not mevatel. So therefore, there's no machloket necessarily between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Gufa, now the Gemara, once it mentioned Rav Nachman's statement, it discusses the matter itself. Gufa, Amar Rav Nachman, what did Rav Nachman say? Shne shtarot hayotzim bezeh achar zeh, bitel shenit harishon. Two shtarot of mechira that come one after another. The second one is mevatel the first one. It cancels the first one. And what did we say? Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, Umodeh Rav Nachman, that Rav Nachman would agree, the Iosif Bedikla, that if he added in the second one a dekel, a palm tree, letosefet katvet, then the second one does not negate the first one. Rather, it's only adding to the sum of the transaction. Okay? Now let's discuss this. So the Gemara is discussing. Pshita, the following is obvious. The following halakha would be obvious. Rishon b'mecher v'sheni b'matana, that if, let's say, the case was that the first shtar was a shtar mecher, a document of a transaction of sale on the piece of land, and then he wrote the second one, v'sheni b'matana. The second shtar that he wrote is b'matana, is to give it to him not as a sale, but as a gift. So then in this case, it's pshita that the second shtar is not mevatel the first one. He only meant to add on to his rights, to upgrade his rights. Leyapot kocho hu dekatavle. The reason why he wrote the second shtar as a gift is in order leyapot kocho, to improve the rights of the recipient. What's the improvement? Mishum dina de bar mitzra. Due to the halakha of what's called bar mitzra. When bar mitzra means when a neighbor, one who has a field that borders the field of his neighbor, he's right by the border. He's the next one there. He's the neighbor. So the halakha is that the bar mitzra normally has the right to be the first one to buy. If, let's say, the owner of the next door land wants to sell his land, so now the bar mitzra, the one who is the neighbor, has the right to be the first one to get the chance to buy the land, because it's right next to his land. But that's only by mecher. If, let's say, the neighbor is giving his land as a gift, well, then the bar mitzra does not have a right, because this person wants to give it as a gift, not to sell it. So he could give it to a gift to anyone he wants. So that's the advantage that matana, that gift, has over mecher, over sale. And that is that there's no issue of dina de bar mitzra. So therefore, in this case where the first shtar was written as mecher and the second one was written as matana, even Rav Nachman would agree that it's not mevatel the first one, the first transaction, because he's only coming to be meyape kocho, he's coming to improve the rights of the recipient by writing it as a gift, that he doesn't have to worry about the bar mitzvah. And this other way around as well. V'kol sheken rishon b'matana v'sheni b'mecher. Surely, if, let's say, the first shtar was written to give it to him as a matana, and the second shtar was written to give it to him as a sale, so then also we say that it's not mevatel the transaction. The amrinan, we say, mishum dina de ba'al chov hu de katavken. Once again, the reason why he wrote the second shtar as a shtar mechira, it's in order to upgrade the rights of the recipient because of the dina de ba'al chov, due to the halakha of a ba'al chov, of a creditor. That's why he wrote it as a mecher, which means out of a concern that his creditor might come and snatch the field from the recipient and leave him like that without any way of compensation, which means, if, let's say, it was only b'matana, right? And then comes a creditor whom the one who gave it to him, b'matana, owes him money. And the creditor is allowed to collect now from Meshubadim, from the lands that were given by the one who owes the money. So he goes over to the guy who received it, b'matana, and he says, listen, sir, sorry, I am the malve, I'm the creditor of the one who gave it to you, b'matana, I have the right to collect it. And he takes away the land, and that's it. The guy has nothing to do. So why did the seller, why did he write a second shtar with mecher? In order to upgrade the situation of the recipient. Now that he wrote it as a mecher, at least when the creditor comes to collect his field, he can demand the money for it. At least, okay, fine, I'm giving you the field, but pay up the money, the worth that I paid for this field. So that's called Mishum Dina de Ba'al Chov, so that's an improvement. So once again, in this case, surely Rav Nachman would hold, it's not a bitul on the original shtar, it's an improvement on the original shtar. So those two cases are pshita, the Gemara says. The question is the following. Ela ishnehem bemecher, shnehem bematana, bitel sheni tarishon. That when Rav Nachman says, bitel sheni tarishon, the second shtar is mevatel, it cancels the first one, must be talking about that either both of them were written as a mecher, or both of them were written as a matana. So the question is, maitama. What's the reason that Rav Nachman holds that the second shtar is mevatel the first one? So here we have two opinions. Rafram amar eimar oduye odile. It could be the reason why he wrote the second shtar, even though he already wrote a first mecher shtar. He writes a second one because he's admitting to him, oduye odile, he's modet to him that the first one was forged. The first one was a false document. So that's why the second one, as an admission that the first one was false, is mevatel the first one. That's Rafram. Rav Acha Amar, Rav Acha says a different reason. The reason why the second shtar mecher or shtar matana is mevatel the first one is because we say, Emar, we say, achule achle le shibude. The recipient forgave him the shibud, the lien that he had from the date of the first shtar. I mean, from the fact that he's accepting this second shtar, that shows that the recipient of this land is mochel. He's forgiving his shi'ibud from the time of the first shtar, and he only has the shi'ibud, he only has a lien from the time of the second shtar, which means he will only be able to collect and to be reimbursed only from property that was owned by the seller from the time of the second shtar. Okay? So we have here two opinions why the second shtar is mevatel the first one. Rafram says, Ema oduye odile, that we say that the recipient agrees, he admitted that the first one was a false shtar. And Rav Acha says, because we say that the recipient is mochel, the shibud from the date of the first shtar. So the Gemara asks, Mai benayhu? What's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference between these two reasonings, between Rafram and Rav Acha? Ikavenayu orue sahade. The nafkamina between them will be in a few cases. The first case is orue sahade. Does it ruin the reliability of the edim on the shtar? Does it make them psule edut? According to Rafram, who says that when a second shtar is written, we assume that the first shtar is of questionable validity. So then the edim who signed on that shtar are under suspicion, and they are pasul edut until further investigation. And therefore, if they testify and they sign in other cases, it's also a question if we are allowed to rely on them. Whereas according to Rav Acha, no, the whole reason is because of the fact that he's mochel de shi'ibud. Has nothing to do with the fact that it's a false document. So the edim stay kasher. That's one nafkamina between Rafram and Rav Acha. And there's another difference. Ul shalom pere uletaska. These are two separate cases. One is ul shalom pere with regard to paying for the perot, for paying for the produce of the property between the two dates of the shtarot. According to Rafram, who's saying that once the second one is written, it's as if the recipient is admitting that the first one was a false document. Okay, so then when did the transfer of ownership take place? It didn't take place by the date of the first shtar, right? Because that's a false shtar. It took place by the second shtar. So that means all the perot that the recipient was eating from this land before the date of the second shtar was something that now he has to pay for. He has to compensate the owner for those perot that he ate. It wasn't his field yet to eat the perot from. So that's what would be according to Rafram. But according to Rav Acha, No, the transfer took place, the transaction took place from the first, from the date of the first shtar. It's only the shibud that he was mochel. The recipient forgave the lien that he has from the first, from the date of the first, of the first shtar. But it really was under his ownership already. He really owns it. Because it was a good shtar, the first one. And that's why he would not have to pay for the pirut. So that's another nafkamina between Rafam and Rav Acha. And the third one, uletaska. Taska means the tax. Just switch around the letters, the samech and the kuf. It comes out tax. That's the property tax, the payment of the property tax. According to Rafam, that the first shtar was invalid. So then the previous owner, he's the one who has to pay all the taxes that are due during the period between the two shtarot. According to Rav Acha, that the first shtar was valid, the transaction took place from then the new owner is the one who has to pay the land taxes from the first shtar's date and on. So there we have three nafkamino, three differences between the opinion, the reasoning of Rav Ram and the reasoning of Rav Acha. And now, all this was because of the machloket of Rav Huna and Rav Aseh that we learned earlier on Daf Mem Gimel regarding if the shi'ibud on the husband's property that is stipulated into the ketubah of the wife, when does it begin? When does the lien on his husband's property, on the husband's property begin? Does it apply from the time of kiddushin or from the time of the writing of the ketubah in the time of nisu'im? So if you remember, that's what we spoke about on Daf Mem Gimel. That was a machloket between Rav Huna and Rav Aseh. Now the Gemara is going back to discuss what the halacha is. May have ala diktuba. What's the conclusion, halachically speaking, that was reached about this matter of the ketuba? So the Gemara says, Tashema, come in here. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Lazar, Bar Rabbi Shimon. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, who said in the name of Rabbi Lazar, Bar Rabbi Shimon, Mane mataim min ha'erusin, v'tosefet min ha'nisu'im. This is like the opinion that Rav Huna said before, that the ikar ktuba, the mane or mataim, the 100 or the 200, which is the ikar ktuba, the standard sum of the ktuba, can be collected already, it's meshubad already from the time of erusin, from the moment of kiddushin, v'tosefet, any extra sum that was added as tosefet ktuba, that can only be collected from the time of Nisu'im, which means the shibut for that begins for the time, from the time of Nisu'im. V'chachamim omrim, and chachamim, however, argue, and they say, echadze ve'echadze mina Nisu'im. V'hilcheta echadze ve'echadze mina Nisu'im. Chachamim say, and that is what the halacha, that the Gemara concludes with, that both the ikar ketuba and the tosefet ketuba can only be collected, are only meshubad. There is a lien on the husband's property for both the ikar ketuba and tosefet ketuba only from the date of the nisu'im, when the ketuba was actually written, not from the earlier date of the kiddushin. Now, the new Mishnah is going to discuss something regarding the halacha that is stated in the Torah in Parashat Ki Tetzé about the na'ara me'orasa that committed adultery after kiddushin, before nisu'in. A na'ara me'orasa, a na'ara that was engaged, she was betrothed, erusin was done, but nisu'in not, and she went and chas v'shalom committed adultery. The punishment in the Torah is stated in the way that she is taken to the entrance of the father's, of her father's house, and she is executed there by the din of skila, with the punishment of skila from bedin. And however, if let's say this was found out to be a false charge by the husband, really he defamed her, he was motzi aleha shem ra, and she did not commit adultery, so then there is a fine of 100 sela that her husband has to pay to the father. So the Mishnah is going to discuss how this applies to a giyoret, to a woman who was a convert. Says the Mishnah, Hagiyoret shenitgaira bita ima. A giyoret, a lady who is a convert, whose daughter converted with her. And then later on, as a na'ara, vizinta, the daughter when she was a na'ara, she was mitkadeshet, she had erusin, and she was mizane, she committed adultery. Harezo bechenik, her punishment is not the skila, it's not the same punishment as skila by a regular na'ara me'orasa of a Yisrael, rather it is chenik, strangulation. And also, another difference, en la lo petach beta'av velo me'asela. She doesn't have the halacha of being executed at the petach betavia, at the entrance of the father's house. That is the case by a na'ara me'orasa who is a full-fledged Yisrael. Velo me'asela. And also, if her husband defamed her by falsely claiming that she committed adultery, there is no knas of the 100 selah. The reason for this is because all throughout that parasha of the din of na'ara me'orasa, it states Yisrael. So therefore, with regards to these halachot, it indicates that it applies only to those who were born as Jews, not if she converted after she was born. The Mishnah gives another example. Let's say horata, her conception occurred when her mother was still not bigdusha, she did not convert, she was still a goy. But while her mother was pregnant, her mother converted. So veledata bikdusha. When this daughter was born, she was born bikdusha. She was born to a Jewish woman already. So it's not that she converted after she was born. She was born to a Jewish woman. However, the conception was still shelo bikdusha. Then the halacha is harezo beskila. If chas v'shalom she commits the adultery of na'ara me'orasa after kiddushin, she does receive skila, ve'en la lo petach bet ha'av ve'lo me'asela. But the din of petach bet ha'av by the entrance of the father and the halacha of the 100 sela does not apply to her still. Why is only the halacha of skila applying to her? That the Gemara will explain. The third scenario the Gemara gives, ha'ita horata ve'ledata bigdusha. If both her conception and her birth was bigdusha, harehi kebat Yisrael lechol devareah. So then she is like a regular Jewish woman in all matters in these halachot as well. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, if let's say a na'ara me'orasa commits adultery, yesh la'av ve'en la petach beta'av, let's say she has a father, but she doesn't have a petach beta'av, she doesn't have an entrance to her father's house. That means, let's say her father doesn't possess a house of his own. Or yesh la petach betaav ve'en laav. Or let's say she has a home that belongs to her father, but her father passed away. She doesn't have a father at that time. What is the din? Harezo biskila. Still, the halacha is carried out of the sentencing to skila. What do you mean? But let's say she doesn't have petach betaav, or she doesn't have a av. Lo ne'emar petach betaav ela lemitzvah. Because when the Torah stated these requirements of petach betaav, this was only stated for a mitzvah, but it's not me'akev. It's not crucial. The punishment of skila is still administered regardless. So now the Gemara begins by asking, menaha nemile. Remember, the Mishnah basically told us that the halachot that are stated in the parasha of Na'ara Me'orasa is only by Yisrael, if she's a full-fledged Jew. But then we saw in the middle the case of horata shelo bigdusha veledata bigdusha, if she was conceived, not bigdusha, her mother wasn't Jewish yet. When she was born, her mother was Jewish. So in that case, the Mishnah sort of said a compromise. Regarding skila, it does apply. She does receive skila like a regular na'ara me'orasa of a Yisrael, a regular Jewish woman, but she doesn't have the requirement of petach beta'av and she doesn't have me'asela. So menaha nemili. From where do we know this? How do you derive this difference? Amar Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish says, "De Amar Kra Vameta." It says in the pasuk regarding the Na'ara Me'orasa, "Uskalu Hakol Anshei Ira Ba'avanim." She receives skila, vameta, and she shall die. So this is extra words. I mean, if she received skila, obviously she'll die. So what do you have to say, vameta? Lerabot horata shelo bigdusha veledata bigdusha, says Resh Lakish. This extra word is coming to hint to us that it is including the case of a woman whose conception occurred when her mother was not yet Jewish, but her birth took place when her mother was already Jewish. The extra, the superfluous word of vameta is including this case regarding only the din of skila. Asks the Gemara, "Ihachi milka nami lilke?" So if that's the case, if you're saying that she has the same din from this extra word, she has the same din as a regular Jewish woman, so let her husband, who, let's say in the case where he defames her, and he's motzi aleha shem ra, let him receive malkut. And he should also pay the 100 selah. Why regarding that do we not include also in this extra word? The pasuk says, vameta. This extra inclusive word of vameta is only regarding the punishment of death. Lemitani trapta. So she, yeah, regarding the punishment of death, she receives it like a regular Jewish woman, which is skila. But regarding the knas, the fine, by motzi shema, it is not included. Ve'ema lerabot horata veledata bikdusha. The Gemara now asks, how do you know that the extra word vameta is coming to specifically include a case of horata shelo bikdusha and ledata bikdusha? Maybe it's only coming to include the case where horata bikdusha veledata bikdusha, that her mother converted before she conceived her. Maybe that's when the word is coming to include that there is skila. But in the case of horata shelo bikdusha, it would not be enough. She would still have absolutely different dinim than a Yisrael. The Gemara says, that I don't need a pasuk for. Hahi Yisraelit me'al yatai. In that case, she's a full-fledged Jew. If horata bikdusha veledata bikdusha, I don't need an extra word to be marbe. Therefore, vameta surely is coming to be including the case of horata shelo bikdusha. Asks the Gemara, okay, how about the other way? Ve'ema lerabot horata veledata shelo bikdusha. Maybe it's coming to include all the way, even a convert, that at the time when she was born, she wasn't Jewish yet, that both her conception and her birth took place when she wasn't Jewish yet. So maybe that's also included in meta, and she should receive skila. The Gemara says, you can't. Im ken beYisrael mayahanile. So then what would the word beYisrael include? What would that have in effect? What would it serve? What purpose would the word beYisrael serve? Meaning, in that parasha, it keeps on saying, ki nevala asa beYisrael, which indicates that these halachot apply to a Yisraelit. If you're telling me that vameta comes to include even not that she's one who is not a full Israelite, one who was horata veledata shelo bikdusha, that she only converted after she was born, if that's the case, then what is the word beYisrael serving? Obviously, the word beYisrael is coming to tell me that horata veledata shelo bikdusha does not apply. So therefore, the only choice that we have to say, what is the superfluous word vameta coming to include? Which scenario is it coming to be marbe? The scenario of the middle one, horata shelo bikdusha veledata bikdusha. And it's only including it le'inyan skila, not le'inyan the knas of motzi shemra. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says the following halacha. Hamotzi shemra al hayetoma patur. In the case of the motzi shemra, meaning that one, the chatan who marries the kala, if he's motzi aleha shemra, that she's not a betula, so then, as we said before, there is the fine, the knas of me'a sela, that's written in the Torah that he has to pay. So, says Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, it does not apply if the kala is a yetoma, if she doesn't have a father. Hamotzi shemra la'etumah is patur from paying that knas. Sheneemar, as it says there in the parasha there, v'natenu la'avi ha'na'ara, and they shall give that fine that the motzi shemra pays. They give it to the father of the na'ara. Prat lezo she'en la'av, so that comes to exclude the yetumah who doesn't have a father. It says la'avi ha'na'ara. Now on this, the Gemara asks a contradiction. Mativ Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin. Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin asks from the following brayta. V'iteima Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida. Some say it's Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida who asked the question. It states in the brayta. Now this is regarding the knas of the mefate, of the seducer. It says, what's the halacha regarding the mefate? That chi fate ish, if he seduces one, then he has to marry her. But if her father refuses to give her over in marriage to the mifate, so then it says in the Torah, he has to pay, kesef ishkol kemo arabetulot, he has to pay the 50 shekel kesef as the fine, as we spoke about previously in our Masechet. So what does it say here? V'imma'en yema'en avia. And we learn, l'rabot yetoma liknas. The extra word of ma'en yema'en, the double language, ma'en yema'en, comes to include yetoma to the din of receiving the knas, even though she doesn't have a father. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What do we see over here? Even though it states in the pasuk aviha, still we disregard that. We say lav dafka aviha. It says ma'en yema'en, a double language. It's coming to include a yetoma. Oh, so then how do you learn from v'natenu la'aviha na'ara by motzi shemra that it's dafka if she has aviha na'ara, if she has a father? We see from ima'en yema'en aviha that it's not always bit dafka that she has to have a father if it says aviha. Hu motiv la v'hu mefarek la. Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin asked this question, and he is the one who also answers the question. Beva aleha ve'achar kach nityatma. This that Rabbi Yossi Aglili learns that lerabot yetoma liknas by the case of the pitui, that's dafka in a case, the scenario of ba'aleha, he had bi'a with her, ve'achar kach nityatma, and only afterwards she became an orphan. That means at the time of the actual sin of the pitui, of the seduction, she had a father. And therefore, that's why lerabot et hayetoma. In this case, yes, she had a father at that time. That's enough to make her included in able to receive the knas. Whereas by the case of motzi shemra, when Rav Yossi Bar Chanina said hamotzi shemra ala yetoma patu, it means she was a yetoma already from before. Before the wedding even. In that case, she's excluded from that halakha because it says v'natenu l'avia nara. So it's not a stira. The case of Rabbi Yossi Aglili is talking specifically where she became yetoma after the act. Okay, but bottom line, so far we have a halakha from Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina that a motzi shemra, getting back to the din of motzi shemra, if it's a yetoma, is patur from paying the knas. Rava argues. Rava amar chayav. Rava says that not like Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, a motzi shemra li yetoma would actually be chayav. Mimai, from where does Rava derive this? Midetani Ame, from the teaching that Ame taught. What did Ame teach? Betulat Israel velo betulat gerim. What does it say in the pasuk of Knas? Ki hotzi shemra al betulat Israel, because he defamed a betulat Israel. So Ame is teaching. Oh, so the knas applies only to defamation of betulat Yisrael, not betulat gerim. Not if he defamed a betulah who was a giyoret. That's what Ami taught to learn to exclude from betulat Yisrael. So Rava is listening to this and he says to himself, ah, so that means a yetoma is included in the din of knas. Because, I amart bishlama ki aigavna b'Yisrael michyav. It is understood if you say that a yetoma, ki aigavna, in this case, where a woman has no father, where she's a yetoma, in Israel, michyav, he would have to pay her the knas still. That's why I need the pasuk to come and teach me betulat Israel velo betulat gerim. Ela yamart b'Israel ki aigavna patu. But if you tell me that even b'Israel, even if she's a full-fledged Jew, but in the case where she's a yetoma, patu, Hashta b'Yisrael patur b'gerim ibaya. What do I need a pasuk to tell me? Betulat Yisrael and not betulat gerim. If even by Yisrael, he's patur from paying when she has no father. By gerim, surely. Are, when a person is mitgayer, when she converts, she is considered like an orphan, right? Ger, shenitgayer, kekatan shenolad dami. That once you convert, it's like you were reborn. And therefore she officially doesn't have any parents. So if even by a yetoma Israel patur, then why do I need a pasuk to be teaching me that by a gerim is also patur? Ela vadai, must be, from the fact that Ami said, betulat Israel velo betulat gerim, meaning the pasuk is coming to teach me to exclude betulat gerim, that means by a yetoma of Israel, he would be chayav to pay her. That's why Rava argued with the statement of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Okay, next, Amar Resh Lakish, Hamotzi Shemra al Haktana Patu. Resh Lakish says, if let's say this is a case of Motzi Shemra, meaning he married a Ktana, she was under 12 years old, and he's Motzi Aleha Shemra, that she's not a Betula, Patu, the law of the Knas does not apply. Shene Emar, it says, V'natenu La'avi Hana'ara, Na'ara Male, diber hakatuv. We mentioned this previously in our Masechet. It's the, you know, normally when the Torah writes the word na'ara, it actually is missing a he. It's written nun ayin resh. There are only 11 exceptions to this throughout the entire Torah. And one of them is here. By the case of Motzi Shemra, it says, V'natenu la'avi ha-na'ara, it's written with a he. That means, na'ara male, diber ha-katuv. That comes to teach me, says Resh Lakish, that the din of this knas, of V'natenu la'avi ha-na'ara, is only by a na'ara, not by a ktana. Matkif la'ravach ha-bar-abba. Ravach ha-bar-abba asks a strong question on this. Ta'am ha-diktiv ba-ha-na'ara. So you're saying the reason why the knas is paid only to a na'ara, not to a ktana, is because the Torah wrote the extra he. Halav hachi, havamin afilu ktana. Are you telling me that if the Torah would not write the extra he, I would say that even by a ktana, the Torah is talking that she receives the knas of Motzi Shemra? But that can't be. I would never think like that. Haktiv, in that parasha, what does it say? Ve'im emet haya davar hazeh lo nimtzeu betulim lana'ara ve'hotziu et ha'na'ara el petach bet avia uskalua. In that same parasha, it says, if it was not a hotzat shemra, if it wasn't a false accusation, it was a true accusation, no beturim were found to the na'ara, that means she committed adultery, so she receives the punishment of skila. Well, you see already from the context of the parasha that it's talking only about a na'ara, not about a ktana, because uktana lav bat onashimi, a ktana doesn't receive punishment, she's not eligible for skila, a ktana. So therefore, you see clearly that the parasha is talking about a na'ara and not a ktana. What do I need the extra head to teach me that? That's Rav Acha Bar Abba's question on the limud of Resh Lakish. Ela kan. So rather, this is how the pasuk is understood. When it says v'natenu by the din of the knas, when it says v'natenu la'avi na'ara, an extra he, it's spelled out fully. It's coming to teach us the following: kan na'ara. Here, where the Torah is evidently referring to a na'ara, it writes it with a he. It spells it out fully. Hakol makom shenemar na'ara afilu ktana b'mashma. To teach us that everywhere else where it says na'ara without a he, it means to include even a ktana. That's what we learn from this pasuk. We don't learn from this word na'ara to this specific halacha of knas per se. For this specific halacha of knas, I don't need the extra he because I already know that from the context of the parasha. What do I learn from the extra he of na'ara over here? To teach me that here where it says he, we know it's only talking about a na'ara and not a ktana. From here I infer that everywhere else where it says na'ara without the he, it's referring to even a ktana, not only a na'ara. We'll stop here for today. Bezat Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue from Tani Shila.